mercy and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. John the Baptist is living. He is alive today in heaven. His body laid to rest by his disciples and later supposedly dug up and desecrated by pagans, it will rise on the last day incorruptible. His head, wherever it is, will be there as well. That this is by the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. In fact, whereas the earthly life of John, the earthly life appointed to him as the forerunner of Christ, preparing the way for Jesus, even being martyred before Christ was, that this role of forerunner, that since the work of Christ, whom the forerunner proclaimed, since that work of Jesus has been completed, now Christ is the first fruits of the dead. And now, rather than go ahead of Jesus, John will now follow where Christ has gone. John the Baptist was the forerunner. Isaiah the prophet prophesied him to be the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." Prophet Malachi prophesied that John would be sent as a messenger to prepare the way, as Elijah, before the great and awesome day of the Lord's visitation, preaching repentance unto young and old, that they would believe the doctrine that God had handed down from fathers to sons. That John the Baptist, as we heard just a few weeks ago, leapt in the womb of his elderly mother at the announcement of Mary and Jesus in her womb. That even there he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was the announcement of the birth of John that the angel Gabriel brought to his father Zechariah, who struggled to understand how this could be, and then lost his ability to speak until that child was born and named John, as the angel had said. That Zechariah prophesied that John would be called the prophet of the Most High, to go before him, to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of sins. The very name John, unique to Zechariah's family, a new name for their family, it means God is gracious. As if all that wasn't enough, our Lord Jesus spoke of John as well. Our Lord Jesus spoke of John, that John was Elijah, who was to come. That John was a reed that was unshaken in the wilderness. And according to Jesus, by his own word, John the Baptist was the greatest man ever born. And then you know John's preaching. John's voice, though Herod thought he had silenced it, John's voice still rings out through churches today because his voice is recorded in sacred scripture. It is the preaching and the voice of repentance, calling out sin in each person, whether of high station or low. But it is also the voice then that points squarely at Jesus Christ and declares, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." So to this greatest man ever born, this forerunner, this bold preacher of both law and gospel to any and all people, high and low status, there was appointed to him a ministry of something of just less than 2 years. That to this holy and righteous man was accorded this death that you heard of today. And yet, as I said, this death did not silence John, nor did it make John's situation worse, but only better. Every time we hear of someone suffering for Christ's namesake, We must remember the words of our Lord Jesus about the blessing of being persecuted. Every time we hear of someone dying for their confession of Christ, we must consider that blessing to those who lose their life for Christ's sake, that they indeed pass through death into life everlasting. That in the end, Herod's executioner gave John a promotion. All the plots of Herodias and her daughter Salome and the plans of Herod, all of them came to nothing for John other than the great means through which John passed into life everlasting. Herod Antipas, as there's many Herods in history, Herod Antipas threw a birthday party for himself, a sign of his own arrogance, a pagan practice, usually tied to thinking so highly of yourself that you're even divine, celebrating the time of your birth. And all the important people were invited. In a strange twist of how this world works versus how the kingdom of God works, the most important person present that night in that place was locked up in the dungeon. That he was there because he had preached God's word. In his case, we are told especially, it was the word of law concerning the adultery of Herod by taking his brother Philip's wife, Herodias, to be his own. And in the process of taking Herodias to be his wife, Herod Antipas sent his first wife back to her father, a king in a neighboring kingdom we will hear about in just a little bit. Consider that this martyr was made because he called out sins against God's institution of marriage and the sixth commandment. That this Herod Antipas was the son of Herod the Great. That's the Herod who killed the boys of Bethlehem seeking to kill Jesus. That this Herod, however, Antipas, was just living up to his family name. His father, Herod the Great, had around 10 marriages and a trail of bloodshed in his quest to get and to keep his throne. That this Herod would have a birthday to remember, including entertaining his guests and himself with a dance done by his stepdaughter. That in his pleasure, he vows a rash vow up to half his kingdom. Herodias' daughter was ready, and so was Herodias. That John's head was to be the reward. That it was appointed for John to enter eternal life by the sick and twisted will of this wicked ruling family. It says that Herod was saddened. But Herod had to please men and fulfill his rash vows by sinning against God and misusing his ruling authority. The executioner is called upon and does what he does. And instead of a platter of cake or of delicious food for feasting, the platter brought into that party held the trophy of the prophet's head. The earthly ruler had struck at God and in the process helped to bring the prophet John to heaven. The Lord our God is always using even the wicked to do what he pleases to do. John knew this would happen. He had said and preached that Jesus must increase and that he, John, must decrease. So the beginning of our gospel lesson today points out that Jesus had indeed increased to the point of making this Herod Antipas nervous, thinking a ghost, perhaps, of John had been resurrected, showing that in himself a guilty conscience was at play, because a guilty conscience is always fearful of the past coming back. That Jesus had increased, and John had confidence in that. That's why John could stretch out his neck for the executioner's blade. Because John's salvation was safe and secure in what Christ would do. That John believed the word that he preached, that Christ Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, including John's sins. That the greatest man ever born gladly died because Jesus had come. That the greatest man ever born had to rely on Jesus for his salvation. And because Christ indeed did what he came to do, and died, and rose again, the greatest man ever born still lives. As you hear these texts today, and hear the news stories that fill your ear, that come your way each week, you must bring to your own mind your own death someday. Sooner or later, it will come. Maybe it will be in your sleep. Maybe it will be after years of treatments. Maybe it will be in an accident. Maybe it will be in isolation in an ICU. Maybe it will be by someone thinking they are doing God a favor by killing you. But what is that death? What is that death for you who are baptized? What is that for you who are baptized into Christ's death and resurrection? For you who believe John's preaching of Christ being the Lamb of God who takes away your sins. That your death, no matter how it comes and when it comes, it is a gateway to life everlasting. No matter who in the world may gloat or celebrate your death, the day of your death is a great and glorious day as you will know eternal life. Stinging question, of course. How have your actions and thoughts and attitudes of recent days and years towards death reflected that? Or haven't they? If they have not, if instead you have been consumed by fear, afraid of your own death, afraid of what comes afterwards, believing all of the world's preachers, of all the fear, and so forth, then you must repent. That John the Baptist is the preacher for you. That you must repent and place your trust in Christ. And bear fruit in keeping with that repentance. A martyr's death is always notable in Scripture, in the church's tradition, and so forth. It is good to know and remember, as we remember martyrs throughout history, that if you think of all the Christians who have entered heaven through the hands of Jewish rulers like Herod, Roman emperors, pagan chiefs, Muslim rulers and jihadi soldiers, communist comrades and their armies and so forth, and every other single thing in between, and whatever else is yet to come. That these martyrs, the ones who died because of their confession of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, that as we heard in the first lesson today, these are they who sit before the altar of our God. John is there. John the Baptist is there. And his cries out for vengeance have been heard by God. That John himself entrusted the vengeance promised against those who do violence to God's people. He entrusted that to God faithfully, as he should have, as we should. And God indeed exacted that vengeance upon Herod Antipas. That Herod was crushed. His army was destroyed by the army of his former father-in-law not too long after the death of our Lord. I would suppose, in fact, that many of those military leaders who had been invited and participated in that birthday party lost at that battle as well. That because of this, The Roman emperor then lost favor towards Herod and dismissed Herod Antipas from his rule, and that the line of the Herods shrank more and more until it was gone completely. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He means what he says, and we can trust that. What was John doing as vengeance was exacted upon Herod? He was praising Christ in the glories of heaven before the altar of God. He was indeed singing out, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." That he still sings out today, because John the Baptist lives. Christ our Lord completed the work that John had prepared the way for him to complete. It is finished, just as Christ said. And the blood of the Lamb, himself executed by earthly authorities, the Lamb's blood has been shed. And that blood speaks a better word, a word of redemption, a word of forgiveness, a word of true justice for God's people. That no matter what earthly rulers might seek to do, they cannot undo what God has done in Christ for you. No matter what lies before you in the days that God gives you, know that your death is but a gateway to life everlasting. Know that godly preaching will convict you of your sins, as today you are reminded of sins against the sixth commandment, sins of marriage and divorce. As you hear it, the Lord beckons you to repent and to trust in Christ for forgiveness. That the evil spirit of Herod would beckon you to be upset with the preacher over your sins being pointed out. Resist him. And take the word of God's law as a loving word. Know that trying to impress the men of this earth by sinning is the wrong choice, one which you should flee from, knowing that a little Herod lurks inside your sinful nature as well and needs to be drowned and die in your baptism. Know to take heed to the preaching of John, a preaching of repentance for sure, putting your sins squarely in front of you, but also that great and glorious preaching of salvation, putting the Lamb of God, Christ our Lord, squarely in front of you and taking away your sins. John lives today. Christ Jesus made sure. Whatever still awaits you in this life, including your death, you too will live. Christ Jesus made sure. In the name of Jesus, amen.